is 350,000 square feet. We were involved in negotiations and doing the DNR major consolidation in Anchorage, which variably was between 150 and actually total numbers over various periods of time, 190,000 square feet. We were involved in, as I remember also, the transferring the Department of Revenue because of what had happened with part of the Anchorage office complex bid. We were kicked out of space, or at least the owner didn't renew it. We thought we had successful negotiations, and we were moved out of the space, and we placed the Department of Revenue in the Hunt Building, and that was about 40,000 square feet. So, and a lot of these things are all being negotiated by the same people simultaneously. Mr. Peterson and Mr. Jackson were working on also the DNR major consolidation at the time. That's 150,000 square feet. This one's 32,000 square feet. Just the simple fact that they're trying to keep, number one, they're separated. They're spending their time on major negotiations. And if you go to the DNR major consolidation, we're talking about a price tag over 10 years of $59 million. That's enough pressure to deal with even if you're only working on that one subject. So I think that the interjection of several of these projects at the same time may have created pressures that they believe, you know, let's say, that were greater than they normally would have been interpreted to be. So whether it was as a result of those also, or just this single incident, I don't think you can separate them.
Well, what couldn't you classify those as artificial pressures and not connected with the actual duties of their office or where they were going to sleep that night or where their office was and the rest of it? I mean, in the major pattern of things, we understand that in their individual sphere, that was important to them to get the job done and the rest of it, and I can understand that. But if they were doing something illegal and they had gone to the, if they thought it was illegal and they went to the AG's office and said, we're afraid to do this, somebody has done something because there was a file that was starting to be kept by Mr. Rubini and Mr. Baldwin were keeping a file of some kind. Well, what I'm trying to get at was it, were they mollified and were they pat it on the head and say, go right ahead, boys, you're okay. Keep right on going, this is okay.
Well, they had authorization for the transaction through the bid waiver. I mean, that authorized the process. So they had that authorization. I think that the greater complaint after time was whether or not they feel they were compromised in the negotiation. I think that is very important to them individually because they believe they would be held responsible, you know, for the results of those particular negotiations. Just even a simple professional responsibility.
We already more or less found out who the leak was as far as the compromising negotiations was from one of your own negotiators, Mr. Peterson, according to sworn testimony. So, you know, if they were told by the AG's office to go ahead and negotiate, and if the law had been broken, they, meaning the AG's office, would bring charges against the guilty party, no matter who it was.
I don't remember any. I don't have any knowledge of any such thing. They were being told, you know, directly. I have found out subsequently. This only relates to the matter of the bid waiver. That Mr. Baldwin wrote Mr. Moore a handwritten memorandum that said, you know, go ahead, you can prepare a best interest determination, and so that's what finally resulted in my signing off on the document also.
What you're saying, a best interest determination, is that an objection to what was being done? Is that what you're saying?
No. Best interest determination refers to the sole source itself. Instead of saying it's sole source, you can say it as a best interest determination.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Stack, for your patience, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the courtesy.
Thank you, Senator Ring. Mr. Stack, I've got a couple questions just to define your employment status. Right now, your job title is what?
Deputy Commissioner.
And how much are you paid on an annual basis in that job?
I think it is $73,000 and some odd bucks.
And do you consider yourself a political appointee?
I guess you would call it that, yes.
Do you have any protections at all under the collective bargaining agreements or civil service procedure, anything of that nature?
Absolutely not. In fact, even if I tried to get reemployed, you know, with the state under the classified system, I don't even get credit for my service that I spent in the PX.
Well, who hired you then? Who appointed you?
My discussion was with Commissioner Lisa Rudd, and she is the one that held the direct discussions with me. But the, as I understand it, my appointment, I serve at the pleasure of the governor.
Serve at the pleasure of the governor. Thank you. Senator Cocchio.
Mr. Stack, in your testimony to the grand jury regarding the October 2nd meeting with Mr. Shively, you mentioned that the Anchorage office complex may have been one of the discussion points. Would you please tell us about your interaction with Mr. Shively on the Anchorage office complex?
On the Anchorage office complex, the main interaction we had in, you're talking about January of 84?
I'm talking about the October 2nd meeting when you were...
I don't believe that we discussed the Anchorage office complex at the October 2nd meeting.
On page 137, your says, regarding the Anchorage office complex, you think one draft version was passed on once. What makes you think that one draft may have been passed on?
I have to go back to the testimony, Senator, I guess...
Do you have your testimony?
Is this the one?
This is on page one. It's volume number one, grand jury.
And page number...
April the 24th is the day that you were doing the, you gave the testimony. And you said, the question, do you recall...
Senator,
go ahead.
You got a page reference for that?
Yes, page 137. Starts with the question, do you recall? Was one on the Anchorage office complex sent to Juneau review like that?
Senator, I think my answer to that particular question is that I think I remember that we transmitted some draft bid documents during January of 1984. I think that's what that's referring to.
Okay. Do you recall then, that's in January of 84?
Yes.
Do you recall John Shively or anyone in the governor's office requesting that draft? Was that the reason why you brought the draft to?
No, Senator. Our reason for bringing the draft forward were that we had to have... We were getting ready for the January 84 document. There are several drafts of the Anchorage Office Complex documents that were made. The January 84 one that we were passing on was so that, one, they were knowledgeable about it, and, two, if they had any particular concerns about items in that draft. There were questions, some of the major questions would have been things such as, what kind of spread should we use between the amount that should be allowed toward cost in terms of percentage of evaluations versus how much should we allow for aesthetics or the design of the building? And questions at that particular level. And so we believed it was appropriate to discuss that. In fact, the Anchorage Office Complex project was discussed many times, or several times directly between myself and the governor and Commissioner Rudd.
Several times the modifications were discussed with Mr. Shively, the governor.
Yes, I think Mr. Shively was not in on all the instances where we had that discussion, but he was there on some.
But the governor was?
Yes.
Did Commissioner Rudd meet with the governor on the bid documents or about the bid documents after that, the modifications?
With on you? The Anchorage office complex?
Yes. This is, we're talking now just strictly about the Anchorage office building.
She may have met separately.
You had her well informed. She was well informed on the bid documents themselves and the modifications and as they went by. Or was this handled more on your level?
It was. I would indicate that as it was more handled on my level. But we did spend some time talking with each other so that she was aware of the contents of the document and at what stage we were at.
You said yesterday that you had met several times with the governor, and you just said again that you met several times with him on the Anchorage complex. Would you characterize those meetings? What were they? What were they basically about?
Those meetings were just in general context on, let's see, we have a draft bid document. we're going to put it out in such a period of time. Let's say the January 84 meeting was, we have the draft bid document. We're going to have a pre-advertising conference in February of 84. I remember we had one particular meeting as to, for instance, how large a size should we make the Anchorage office complex. For instance, there, whether or not at one time even, and I need to give this in terms of perspective, there was a time period, an interim draft of the Anchorage office complex that was prepared once that tried to make a runoff between four existing buildings and one newly built building. And we went out and got the plans for the four biggest buildings in downtown Anchorage and laid them crosswise against the design plans for a new building and created a bid document to do exactly that. And then after 3 months' worth of work, the decision was to reverse that decision and go back to the other direction. And so we turned around and did it again the other way. So those are the kinds of questions that we went through. And we did all the legwork and did all the different bid document drafts and so forth. But the level of questions that would have come up or been discussed with the governor are, what stage were we at the draft bid documents? When would we have bids? When would we expect those bids to come in? This is how much square footage is involved. This is how much the price tag might be. What kind of split should we use, or do you feel comfortable with this much of a split in aesthetics versus price and so forth?
Would this be the time that you would have mentioned to the governor about the confidentiality of bid documents? Were you entertaining any doubts about the use of the information that you were discussing with the governor's office at that time?
Senator, I don't think I was entertaining any doubts that the information would be moved, would be used separately. My memory is that when you're working with something that significant, when you have a project that you know is going to be in the range of $100 million, and any release of information, I mean even someone having a couple days notification ahead on a project of that size and being able to set up financing, would be critical. And therefore, felt it necessary to simply say again, be very careful where these things go, and just as a matter of course.
Okay, then, so in other words, you were more or less on a one-on-one from your level of the department rather than going through Commissioner Rudd as far as playing the role of the changes with Mr. Shively, with the governor as to the Anchorage complex, as to this. Was this bid thing where you put all four of these together, you laid them out, was, and then they decided that they would go with the two blocks that were bought or cleared in Anchorage? Was that done in the governor's office? Was that done at your level?
No. First of all, those two, that history even goes back further, back to 1981 and 82. In fact, it was, the final site was selected at the behest of the municipality of Anchorage. In fact, the state had hoped at one point in time, they had selected a different plot, and then the municipality of Anchorage interjected itself in the process, and the state actually moved where it was going to put, you know, the Anchorage office complex after discussion with the municipality of Anchorage. And that decision was kind of one, a consensus decision between the state and the municipality of Anchorage.
So that was passed off in, you might say, 83, or early on, and then you went on to the other, on to the...
Yeah.
How was the Anchorage office complex bid structured? Is it, you know, would you tell us, please, how the aesthetic portion was derived by and by whom, and how is this all, this 40-60 thing put together?
Those were recommendations made by us after discussions with our construction manager, so to speak, I'll use that term, with William J. King and Associates, as to what kind of split we should use. And it would be, for the want of a better word, a design-build type approach. The recommendation for 40-60 was made by, came forward in discussions between, let's see, I think the people at the time were Bob Link and Barry Jackson and myself, and Bill King and a few other people may have been involved on that. We did some research as to what kind of splits could be used. We made the specific recommendation, passed it also by the Department of Law, that 40-60 would be appropriate. We had discussion with them also, provided for written determinations to be made of that, because we wanted to make sure that it was legal to do such a thing. And we made the recommendations for that. And originally, as I remember, one of the first draft packages in January of 1984, it was 70-30. After the pre-advertising conference on February 14th of 84, we adjusted that after a series of discussions because we were concerned. We had about 100 people, I think, who the package had been sent out to. We took significant testimony up in Anchorage, I think it was at the Westward Hilton at the time, had received significant numbers of comments, and there was a concern as to how much latitude there would be. After a set of kind of policy discussions, we settled on perhaps 60-40 would be better, because we thought that 70-30 would be more limiting in terms of how good of a design we could get. We made that recommendation forward to Commissioner Rudd, who signed the determination, and also to the governor. I remember that was discussed with the governor, but that was based directly upon our input, and he did not change our recommendation.
Were these the kind of unique, were have these been followed, have you put out bids in this, that manner? Was the Fairbanks structure, or was any of the other structures on a percentage of aesthetics?
At this point in time, the only project that we had on aesthetic percentage, I think, was the Anchorage Office Complex.
Who evaluated the aesthetic portions? Who were the members of the panel, and how did you come about on this?
I think, as I remember, if my memory serves me correctly, we had that, was again, when a discussion between several of us in the department. I was the one who made the final recommendation to the commissioner that it should be composed of, and I think it was a representative of the Department of Administration, a representative of the DOT, an architect at large, a representative of the municipality of Anchorage, and a representative of the governor's office. And we made that recommendation forward. We made sure at the time that no one would know who the members of the evaluation team would be prior to the time that the responses would be received back by us, because we didn't want those members known, and so we didn't even ask and put together the specific names on the committee until, oh, it was real shortly before the bid was to come in, so that no one would have had any knowledge. None of us would have had any knowledge as to who the five people were. We specifically did not make that decision until those packages were almost received.
Are you aware of the governor's office representative exhibiting any? Were you in on those meetings? Was the governor's member, was he exhibiting any overreach or any push to create any process to the evaluation of the 40% being the aesthetics portion?
No, Senator. I was not at that particular meeting. I purposely stayed out of them because I had so much connection with all the pieces of the package and being the project managers that I did not physically want to be at the presence of those particular meetings.
Okay.
Because I might be asked
a fair amount. If you weren't there, then, Mr. Thatcher, do we have, because of the open meeting law, do we have minutes of those?
Yes, those meetings were announced. I don't know if there were minutes kept of those particular meetings. I know the results were kept, and I think Bob Landau was the representative of the governor's office at the time. He was, I don't think anyone from the governor's office directly was involved in that, but Bob Landau had been chosen for that, who is a deputy commissioner over in the Department of Labor.
So you're not sure whether there's minutes of them?
I'm not sure whether there's minutes. I think I'd have to contact Bill King to see.
How could we find out?
I could find out and bring an answer back to the committee.
Could we have those given to the committee?
Sure. Whatever it is.
Did Commissioner Rudd ever voice concerns about the way the Anchorage office bid complex was going with you?
No. In terms of, I guess I have to say, when you say voice concerns, it obviously was a huge project, and we wanted to make sure it went right. And I guess, in terms of concerns, we wanted to make sure that we had a good financing package. I mean, the greatest concern that we had was when both she and I went back to plead with the Internal Revenue Service to try to allow us to have an exemption under the new tax act, which we believed we were entitled to, and she and I both made representations to the Internal Revenue Service. I got the duty to sign the documents to ask for the request for the ruling from the Internal Revenue Service on behalf of the state. But we both went back and presented our case.
Well, it seems that during the meetings that we had in March, the 21st and 22nd in the finance room on that very question, Senator Petula asked you, and I have copied the minutes and I have them available if senators want to refresh themselves with them, but the thing is that was asked if you did you know of anyone who felt that the process was being manipulated, and an attorney by the name of Deaney, I think it was sitting next to you and muttered, and you said that you would not want to answer that question, and Senator Petula waved it off. Did you testify about the bid process then? You remember what was transpired at the Senate Finance Committee on that particular issue? Do you want to?
Yeah, well, I remember part of it, Senator, because it was about 6 hours long over 2 days. And so I do remember that I think we waved off the question at the time because we had received the bid documents in, and we were, I still think, in the portion, the process of evaluation of that bid process. We already had an award, I think was the, we already had an award out. We were discussing on part of that award, and there was still a potential protest period that was involved. That protest period has passed. There have been protests filed. We subsequently canceled that particular bid, and we have had claims filed against the state, or notice of claims filed against the state for the state canceling that particular bid process, and we still have not received the full bill. Or, you know, a couple weeks ago, they made requests as to the fact that they were going to make requests from the state, and I think they are still in the process of getting together their bill to send to us, and then that issue will be litigated from that point on.
I can see why Senator Ray was asking the questions fast, because you go down the process where that there's some of these questions that I've got here that my train of thought that you've already answered, but it seems to me that when you were at the committee meeting, I was there, and you had an attorney general with you, and he was at two or three different occasions interrupted, and you didn't answer those questions. Were you, before you testified before the finance committee, were you told on, briefed on what information you could divulge on the Anchor office complex and how it was going, and if so, by whom, and why, would you tell us?
Senator, I will answer that in terms of this, and I have had discussions, just so that you know the framework, prior to coming to these particular hearings, I have had discussions with the Attorney General's office as to what extent I might answer questions on the Anchorage office complex because of the potential of significant litigation against the state of Alaska, and that litigation could get to quite a sum of money, because we do have a cancellation of a bid document. I do have a responsibility to not leave the state in a weakened position, especially since that particular process has to be taken care of in a more judicial environment. And therefore, but my discussions with them were, after the evaluation by both people, is that I should simply, you know, answer the questions directly to me on that process. I will tell you, Senator, that I do have quite a bit of concern personally that, depending on the line of questioning, it could directly affect the state's case. and I am concerned about that. And I will probably be deposed in that manner at quite a length at some time in the future.
Did you keep as extensive a notes in a file on the, because of the complexity and the dollar value of the Fairbanks or the, versus the Anchorage? You said that the Anchorage file was, or the Fairbanks file was this big, but then the Anchorage file, because of the dollar value and because you went through the process about 10 times and you changed your bidding process right at the end, would that file be way big then?
Well, if you're talking about the types of gratuitous notes and some of the very detailed conversations kept on 32,000 square feet, I'd have to say that they probably, you know, would, in terms of just total sheer weight of paper, the Anchorage office complex would probably take up a room. So, but that's just because of the size of that project and the fact that we were creating a new building and everything else that goes with that. But if you're talking about the extents of the notes on a 32,000 square foot acquisition versus 350,000 square foot in a building, this one was very, very, very extensive. I don't know if that's...
Well, because I wouldn't want to fill this room up with them as we get down the line. It's just that the bid was awarded, was not?
Yes, there was a tentative award that was made that was canceled by the state.
Was the bid ever mentioned in the meetings that you had and the award and the December 7th meeting where you changed the process of financing? Was that ever discussed with you and the governor's office?
I would like to have, before I go on and answer that particular question, could I request the committee for about a five-minute recess?
Yes. Well, in the circumstances, the Rules Committee will recess until 7 o'clock this evening.